Our Bible study this hour will begin in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Will you turn with me there, please? 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning at verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that is, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in lustful passion like the Gentiles who do not know God, and that no man transgress and defraud his brother in the matter. Because the Lord is the avenger in all these things, just as we also told you before and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for the purpose of impurity, but sanctification. Consequently, he who rejects this is not rejecting man, but the God who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Brethren, if we thought for a moment that immorality in all its forms, including pornography, is only a problem among people of the world, then we were mistaken. The sin of pornography poses a serious threat to everyone, including Christians, including children, especially teenage children. We should not think for a moment that just because you're a Christian that we're somehow exempt from this evil influence. It was a problem in the first century church with the apostles still alive and present with them. Why would it not be a problem today? And it most certainly is and can be. And so how can we, ladies and gentlemen, overcome and gain the victory over this very real and present danger? In being a disciple of Jesus Christ, it means that our whole heart is given unto the Lord. And you'll notice in this passage in 1 Thessalonians 4, it was clearly, to some degree, a problem in Thessalonica, because Paul says that our sanctification is tied directly, verse 3, to abstaining from immorality. Did you get that? Now, the Hebrew writer will say, pursue sanctification. Without the pursuit of sanctification, you will never see the Lord. That's a very important passage. Unless you're actively pursuing sanctification, you will not see the Lord. Now here is a passage, that's Hebrews 12, 14. And here is a passage, 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3, where Paul ties our pursuit of sanctification directly to abstaining from immorality. That's how important this is. And then in verse 4, a very practical command, brethren, learn how to control your own body. Keep those desires in check. We must learn to do this. And then in verse 5, what we must not do is to allow our desires to control us as those who don't know the Lord. If the desires of this vessel, this tent, control you rather than you controlling them, you're like those who don't know the Lord, who don't have the Lord in their heart. How can we overcome this terrible sin? Well, we're going to study together this morning a few facts, a few principles that will help us to overcome and gain the victory over this terrible sin that's just invading our country. It's the filth of immorality just flooding our country each and every day. And we need to be very aware of this and on guard constantly, because before you know it, it can creep right into your home. And it's so easy, it's so accessible, it's so convenient. It can happen. And let me tell you this, brethren, in a congregation this size, in all likelihood, in all probability, there's somebody here that's struggling with this sin right now. It's going on. And we want you to know, brother or sister, that we're not here to condemn you. We're here to take the Word of God and with the Word of God to convict you. of your relationship with Jesus Christ and what He wants you to do. We're hoping that, this message from God's Word will convict your heart and bring you to the Lord or back to the Lord, because that's where He wants you to be. We understand that this is not something you went looking for, but in a moment of time, it happened. And instead of turning away, you continued to look and look, and the next day you went back to it and back to it, and now it poses a very serious and present danger in your heart. You know, Satan just needs the tiniest little foothold, the smallest little area of your heart to build a fortress. And in that fortress, he'll start gaining more ground in your own heart. You don't want to give him ground. And if you've given him that ground, you want to regain it. And Jesus teaches you how to do it. He teaches us how to do it. So let's learn some things that Jesus teaches us to do this morning to regain that ground, maybe, that Satan has built a fortress in. First of all, first and foremost, we need to understand this. We can't please God while we harbor this sin. We cannot please the Lord if we harbor this sin. Verse 1 of 1 Thessalonians 4, look back with me there, please. Paul says, "Finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually walk, that you may excel still more." Paul says, we walk so as to please God. This is the true disciple of Jesus Christ. A strong desire to please God is the most powerful reason for fighting against immorality in all its forms, or any sin, as far as that is concerned. We want to please the Lord, and we don't want God to be disappointed. That's the kind of relationship we should be having. You know, when Dean and I were raising our children, there's nothing that brought us greater joy than when Ryan and Dana and Matthew did something because they wanted to please Mom and Dad, rather than do something else which would cause us to be disappointed. And they didn't want to disappoint us. They wanted to do it so it would please Mom and Dad. There is nothing, I can assure you, that brought us greater joy than to know that was their motivation, to do what they did or to not do something. They didn't want to disappoint their mom and dad. It wasn't just, you'll get a spanking if you do. They knew that too. But you know what? The main reason when it was, I know Dad would be disappointed in me. I know Mom would be really upset with me, so I'm just not going to do that. And maybe even warn one another, you better not do that. You know what Dad thinks about that, or Mom thinks about that. Well, as I read Scripture, I believe that our Heavenly Father wants the same kind of relationship with us. That we ought to walk so as to please God. That is our primary objective. We don't like to disappoint the Lord. And we don't want to grieve the Spirit, Ephesians 4. And so we make these decisions to do this or not do that with that primary motivation. Now there's also a walk in the fear of God. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 with me, please. 2 Corinthians 7. Well, actually, begin just two verses above that in chapter 6, verse 17. It helps to get more of the verbal neighborhood. And so chapter 6, verse 17, "Therefore come out from their midst and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will welcome you. I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty. Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilement of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." And so we do all things to please the Lord, and we're perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Brethren, we know what God has done. We know what God's doing right now to some degree. But we also know what God will do. And what He will do is someday He will judge all men. Someday all of us will stand before the judgment of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. Give an account of the choices we made with this vessel in this body. And so we walk also in the fear of the Lord. And so as Paul says, let us cleanse ourselves from all defilements of the flesh. In view of those two things especially. Secondly, accept responsibility. Be accountable for your sin. And then repent and pray. Psalm 51 is the only effective way, David shows us, to deal with sin. Psalm 51, beginning at verse 1. David prays, this is a psalm prayer, as many of them are, and he prays, "Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions." And as you go through this, just notice how many times you'll find the pronoun I or my. Verse 2, "Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin, for I know my transgressions, my sin is ever before me. Against thee only I have sinned and done what is evil in thy sight." You definitely see here that David accepted complete responsibility for his sin. David is completely transparent, completely open. "I know my transgressions, my sins are ever before me." And in verse 4, the last statement in verse 4, he acknowledges that God would be just in punishing him. He says, "So that thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when you judge." But beginning in verse 7, David pleads for God's mercy. He knows he has nothing to bring the Lord of his own goodness. And so he cast himself entirely on the mercy of God. He says, verse 7, "Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out my iniquities." You want to be different, brother and sister? Really different? Verse 10. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." If you do that, you'll really be different. "Do not cast me away from thy presence. Do not take thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation. Sustain me with a willing spirit. And then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted unto thee." Brother and sister, if you've become involved in this terrible sin, or there's any sin that you're harboring in your soul right now, we urge you, we plead with you to get it out of your life. And especially is this sin of pornography a pernicious and very dangerous sin. Let me tell you what's going to happen. I've talked with enough people, counseled enough people on this subject. I can tell you exactly what's going to happen if you don't get this evil thing out of your heart. It is a dark, dark, evil world you're dealing with here. And here's what's going to happen if you don't deal with it immediately. Pornography will become an addictive drug to you. And the longer you stay in it, the more difficult it's going to be to get out of that. All of these images of wicked people abandoned to sin, unrestrained in their behavior, will be forever burned in your mind. And they'll be swimming around in your head all day long. It will become your world. It will be your new master. You'll lose touch with reality. You'll have a very twisted and perverted view of people. You'll begin to see people, especially the opposite sex, as mere objects to satisfy your selfish lust. If you're married, it will destroy your marriage. Instead of your wife, whom God has given to you, you will constantly imagine other people in your mind. Your wife will never know who you're thinking about. It will destroy your relationship with your children and all you hold near and dear. And if you're not married, you will have a very twisted and perverted view of intimacy. In time, you will hate yourself for allowing yourself to give in to this sin, and you will wish you had never seen those images. Don't go there. It is a dead-end street. Now, brother, where are you? What are you going to do about it? When are you going to do it? We hope this morning is the time that God's Word will convict you in your heart and you'll come back to the Lord and openly confess these things to Him. Be transparent with Him, with your wife, with your husband, with someone you trust with whom you can be accountable to. That will help you. Third, you need to accept God's forgiveness. Look at Psalm 103 with me, please. Psalm 103. I found this psalm to be very helpful in not only learning the depth of God's mercy, but also in learning to accept His mercy. Each verse should be read with very careful thought and consideration. Let's begin at verse 8. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness. He will not always strive with us, nor will He keep His anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That is, He's long-suffering. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His loving kindness toward those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far He has removed our transgressions from us. Just as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear Him. For He Himself knows our frame. He's mindful that we are but dust. Isn't that great? In humility and transparency, as the psalmist, confess your sins. Be open and honest with those closest to you, especially your spouse. And then remember this passage here and other passages. According to verse 12, how far will God remove your sins from you? Infinity. Infinity, as far as the east is from the west. Now, how could God say this any plainer in order for us to believe it? We need to accept God's forgiveness on this matter when we truly humble our hearts before Him and confess it. And then you need to move on. With God's grace and help, we can do this, and you will be more than conquerors. You'll regain that ground that you lost. And you can say as David in Psalm 23, He restores my soul. How do you know David didn't write that psalm after his affair with Bathsheba? He restores my soul. You need to accept God's forgiveness. Number four, stop immorality at its source. Look at Matthew chapter 5 with me. Matthew 5, verse 27. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, everyone who looks on a woman to lust for her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. You may not be committing the act of adultery, but let me tell you, brother, if you are mentally undressing this person as you look at her, you're committing sin nonetheless. We must stop the sin at the source. Adultery of the heart and in the bed are two different things, but one definitely leads to the other. Be very careful what you allow into that heart. Now let me ask you this question. If your thoughts throughout the day suddenly became audible so that everybody could hear them, I wonder what kind of person you and I would reveal to the world. What would others suddenly know about you they didn't know before? Would there be things you would be very ashamed of? Impure thoughts, hateful thoughts, deceitful things. Well, brother and sister, the Bible makes it clear that all our thoughts are audible to God. He hears them all. He knows who you're thinking about. He knows what you're thinking about. Everything is heard by God. That should be our primary concern. Ecclesiastes chapter 12 shows us God will bring everything into the judgment, hidden, everything hidden, good or evil. So let's take care of it now. And if need be, find someone very close you can trust to share something with that will hold you accountable so when you go before the Lord, you've done this before he holds you accountable. Let somebody else help hold you accountable here, if that's what it takes. And along that line, be open and honest again with them and say, look, anytime randomly you ask me what's going on in my life. You know, to some degree, this assembly is accountability. To some degree. In a small way. But it is. We're here especially to worship the Lord and edify one another, but we also hold each other accountable to some degree. Well, I'm talking about going the extra step, and maybe if whether it's anger or it's immorality or hatefulness, whatever the situation may be, maybe we need someone to help us. Hey, as Brother Terrence recommended one time, here's my phone situation. I am tempted to sometimes do the voyeurism thing and look at things I should not be looking at. And anytime I do, you'll know it. You're going to know it. You call me and you let me have it. I want you to help me be accountable. Sometimes that's plucking out the right eye, cutting off the right hand. It takes drastic measures. I'm not saying everybody needs to do that. Some of us, all of us to some degree need to do that, especially with our spouse. But we may need extra help in that area. And God uses His people. God uses His people to help us in those areas too. Your soul is worth it, brother or sister. It's worth it. And heaven's definitely worth it. What kind of person would be revealed? And so we're striving to do as Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10. Look at 2 Corinthians 10. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, here's where the warfare is. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but divinely powerful for the destruction of strongholds or fortresses. He's talking about strongholds in your heart. Verse 5, we are destroying speculations. Every lofty thing, he's talking about thoughts in your heart now, raised up against the knowledge of God, we're taking every thought captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6, 2 Corinthians 10 makes it clear we're at war, but it's a spiritual warfare against Satan. Our heart is the battlefield and our soul is the prize. Paul said in Ephesians 4, he said, don't give the devil an opportunity. Don't give him access. Don't give him an open door into your heart. Because if you do, he will build that stronghold. He'll build that fortress within your own heart. And then he'll use that fortress he's established in your own heart to launch other attacks against you within your own heart. Don't let him have access. Don't give him any advantage. Be extremely careful about what you allow into your heart. When we view immorality, then we're giving him that foothold. And so, take every thought captive. Be extra careful about what you view, especially guys, you and I, because we're very visually oriented. Stop viewing immoral images. And if you're in a hole right now and you want to get out, stop digging. Stop looking at it. Get away from it. Eventually, it will destroy you. Starve it to death. Stop feeding it. There's no question Satan controls the media. It's his domain. It's a very powerful weapon. We have to resolve to be very careful about it, regulate it. Television, the internet, whatever it may be, make sure you regulate it. And if you can't regulate it and you don't have the discipline to do that, maybe you need to get rid of it. Again, the eye and the hand. David said, I will set no worthless thing before my eyes. Psalm 101 and verse 3. Let's do as David. We need to study and pray. Ephesians 6. Look with me over there, please. Ephesians 6. We need to study God's Word and we need to pray. Ephesians 6 and verse 10. Paul says, finally be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and powers and world forces of this darkness. He's talking about satanic forces, spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God that you may be able to resist in the evil day. And so be strong in the Lord. Alone we can't defeat these kind of forces. But with the Lord we're more than conquerors. And even if you've given into this sin, let's gain the ground back by being strong in the Lord. And the first thing down in verse 18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times. Every battle should begin with us on our knees, that is in prayer. So pray specifically that God will open our eyes to all areas where we have need of change. Pray that God will strengthen us to resist this temptation, that temptation, to remember the good things we've learned, to put away bad habits. Pray that God will help you to be an instrument in helping other people put away this sin or others. Stay away from evil associations. And then, brother and sister, let's put feet to our prayers, and put on the armor of God, the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. Always have that sword in your hand. Never put it down. Because this is an ongoing fight. And we must fight this battle until the day we die. It is ongoing. It never stops. And then challenge your whole family to do the same. Have those home devotionals and worship periods with your whole family, warning them of the dangers to come. Help them be proactive in this fight against sin. Okay, son, what are you going to do when you get into this situation? To your daughter, what will you do when you're in this situation? You need to be ready for that because it's going to happen. It's not a question of if, but when and how you're going to deal with it. I had a brother suggest to me recently that he's told someone through the years that when they see those things that they should not be looking at, he said to do the head bounce is what he called it. It sounds kind of silly at first, but then I thought, you know, it'd be an easy way to remember this as a strategy. And so basically it amounts to whenever you see it, you're ready to do this number. People are like, what is wrong with that guy? He didn't take his medicine today or something. But the head bounce is simply, you do this and you right away, it reminds you to look away. Look away. Be proactive. You know you're going to see things you should not be looking at. And sometimes we can't avoid that. There's a sign on the street or television, a computer pop-up, whatever it may be. But just do the head bounce. Just immediately you're going to look away. You're going to look away. And maybe even, guys, call your wife in the room. Honey, this thing came up here. Help me get off of this thing. Help me get away from this situation. Again, be very transparent with one another. Your spouse definitely should be in the loop and helping you to be accountable in those kind of situations. Pray, study, be active. Be depositing all the spiritual wealth you can into the spiritual bank so you have something to withdraw when the temptation comes. Otherwise, if there's nothing there, then Satan will have you. Be ready, be proactive. And then finally, get help. We've talked about this, Proverbs chapter 27. We've talked about this throughout the lesson. Make sure we surround ourselves with good people. Proverbs 27:17, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so surround yourself with people of iron character. People that will help you get through this situation. Certainly a spouse, but in addition, a brother or sister whom you can trust with this information about yourself. And they need to be brutally honest with you. And they need to hold you accountable. Proverbs 24:7, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Someone who truly tells you what you need to hear. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ, Romans 14:12. And if being accountable to a loved one or brother and sister in Christ will help me before I stand before Christ, then it's worth it. This lesson hopefully will be received with the intent in which it's given, and that is to take the Word of God and convict your heart of what it says about pursuing sanctification and avoiding immorality. Please receive it that way. We want to see the Lord someday. We want to be with the Lord someday forever. And to do that, we must avoid all forms of immorality. And that includes this very pernicious, pervasive pornography that's invading our country. Brother, if you have become involved in this, then we urge you to get out of it now while you can. We urge you to come to Jesus Christ, or come back to Jesus Christ, and lay this at the cross. The Lord will forgive you. You've seen that in His Word. Lay this before Jesus. Humbly repent of your sins. Confess it. He will forgive you of this sin. In order to truly come to Him, your heart needs to be converted. Unless you become converted as a child, wholly dependent, trusting in Him, you not enter the kingdom. Be converted. Come to Jesus. Lay your whole life before Him. If you've yet to give your life to Jesus Christ, then the Lord says there's a new birth process. And so you give your life to Him, surrendering in immersion in water. That shows your complete submission to Jesus Christ. Immersion in water. Complete submission to Jesus Christ. The Bible says it washes away sins. There's a number of good reasons for it according to Scripture. We become a new creature. But that new birth begins. God is our Father. We are His children. And then we know we'll have His strength.